Chapter 3. Memories. Roy Mustang thought he had outgrown this kind of dread. It was only there, watching Ed's blood shine in the firelight, that he realized how close a companion fear had remained. Until then, he honestly believed that he had moved beyond that sudden, childish flash of terror. Now it returned full force, shaking him with its potency. "What the hell is this?" he demanded, forcing the words past his numb lips. He wanted it to be a joke. The need for some easy explanation was a heavy pressure on his chest. When Ed turned away, Roy swallowed tightly, struggling to choke back angry, frightened words. Possibilities whirled through his mind. It could be an infection, a trauma, or something more systemic and deadly. The blood covered most of Ed's palm, bright red and frothy, a gruesome testament. "How long has this been happening?" His voice was a hoarse whisper, forceful despite its low volume. His fingers tightened and he shook the young man's arm in emphasis. The flash of anger in Ed's eyes spawned a weak trickle of relief. At least he was not listless. There was still some fire that remained. "It's none of your business." With a quick yank, Ed pulled away, snatching his free hand and rubbing his palm on his wet t-shirt. In a flash, the claret proof had vanished on a backdrop of black. It was as though he hoped to erase the encounter from history with that one gesture. And Roy watched as the alchemist rose to his feet and moved towards the door. "Stop right there, Fullmetal. I'm not done with you yet." The blonde's back stiffened, and Roy waited for the rude response or dismissive flip of a middle finger that normally followed that kind of demand. Instead, there was only a heavy rise and fall of shoulders, as though all of Ed's strength was spent, and there was none to spare even for a frail retort. Eventually he turned to face the desk, and Roy took a good, hard look at his subordinate. Pale skin was slicked with mud, and the rain that still clung to him darkened his distinctive gold hair. The bruise around his eye had blackened rapidly, and a trail of dried blood still dotted his temple. A flush lingered on his prominent cheekbones, although whether it was from his recent proximity to the fire or something else, Roy couldn't tell. His body, lithe and well-trained from years of hand-to-hand, still maintained its familiar slouch, but now he looked weary. Vivid eyes glared, one eyebrow slightly raised in bare tolerance of the scrutiny. Roy had seen many things in that golden gaze, anger, impatience, desperation. Since returning from the gate, those emotions had become less prominent. These days, there were also flashes of understanding, and something else, hot and indefinable. All the while, those feelings were half hidden behind some kind of internal shield, as though Ed would not allow the true strength of his emotions to be known. Fullmetal was good at concealing anything that he believed to be a sign of weakness. His naturally stubborn nature helped him in his goal, and, by Roy's orders, part of the office routine had grown to include a subtle examination of his well-being. It had become mundane: water the plants, clean out the coffee pot, and check that Ed was not suffering in silence. Either someone hadn't been doing their job, or the young man was getting better at keeping things from them. It had been a few weeks after the Elrics had returned to Central, safe and mostly whole, that Hawkeye had commented on Edward's health. Faint lines of strain were etching themselves into his face. and they had deepened by the day. Everyone had tried to find out what had happened, and tried to reassure themselves that Ed had returned as unharmed as he appeared. One by one, he fobbed them off with weak assurances that no one really believed. Gradually, they had found more subtle ways to try and learn the truth. But Ed was holding his own counsel. Even Al was unable to learn anything from his stubborn brother. In the end, they had stopped trying and contented themselves with watching from a distance. It was not enough, but what else could be done? More and more, Roy found himself wondering if he really knew anything about the young man under his command. With Al, it was simple. He was an open book, easy to take into confidence and always willing to help and be helped. Ed was the opposite. Even to those who knew him best, there was the distinct feeling that he presented the world with a mask, a fake appearance that told nothing of the reality behind that brash, impetuous nature. Frankly, it was infuriating. Roy squared his shoulders, forcing all emotion away as he let his voice slip into cool, indifferent tones. "Take a shower and get some rest. You're no use to me in this state." It was a dismissal, clearly emphasized as he turned back and glared out the window at the night. He could almost hear Ed grinding his teeth together in anger. If there was one thing that Full Metal could not stand, it was being ignored. The boy may have grown up, but he had not left his temper behind with his childhood. The window reflected the office, from the sprawling sofa to the fire in the heart, and Roy watched Ed scrub his hand over his face, his fingers brushing away mud and rivulets of water. He touched the bruise around his eye thoughtlessly, and Roy winced in sympathy as Edward cringed. It was an unguarded moment, and for the first time in 2 years, Roy saw what was really there. For a second, his young face was ravaged with pain, exhaustion, and a desperate hopelessness that he had never seen on a man during peacetime. Ed looked like a soldier on the front line, haggard and beaten. It was automatic to turn around and reach out. The urge to wipe that expression away with a careful touch was so powerful that Roy struggled to control it. His muscles tensed as he forced himself to remain motionless, but his eyes were fixed on the reflected scene, taking in every detail. What kind of private battles must Ed be fighting to look like that? Everyday life did not wear a man down. Only endless months of bearing one's burdens alone left the spirit so defeated that it could clearly be seen. Had it been that way since he had brought Al back? Suddenly, Ed's eyes met Roy's in the glass, and the mask slipped back into place. It was a seamless fit over his features. Agony ebbed away behind an indifferent expression, and the grimace on his lips eased from sight. Roy could almost convince himself that he had imagined it, but he had seen it with his own eyes. A moment was enough. He knew that, as long as he lived, he would not forget what he had seen. "Why didn't you go back to Rizimbul after you retrieved Al's body?" It felt odd to voice the question that had plagued him for so long, and the reply he got was just another clumsy evasion. "I thought I was dismissed," Ed muttered darkly, his defensive anger flaring. He knew that Roy had seen the expression on his face, and the scowl on his brow made it clear that this was not a topic open for discussion. "You didn't seem to be in any hurry to leave my office." Clasping his hands behind his back, he continued his false scrutiny of the vista beyond the window, never taking his eyes from Ed's reflection. Eventually, Ed took a deep breath, letting his shoulders rise and fall in an indifferent shrug. "I didn't think I would be let off the leash." It was a lie, and they both knew it. Still, when Roy glanced over his shoulder, Ed only tilted his chin defiantly, as though daring him to comment. No one's keeping you here, Fullmetal. The military can be persuaded to part with your expertise if that is what you truly wanted. Something flickered in Ed's eyes, and Roy felt a tightness clench in his chest painfully. He had foolishly been hoping for some kind of explanation, but now he wondered if he had just talked Ed into leaving Central for good. His breathing had stuttered to a halt, trapped in the cage of his torso as he waited for the reply. I don't think you could manage without me. You take so much looking after. Ed's voice was gentle, with the faintest trace of daring playfulness. I'll keep working on the grave robbers and let you know when I have something more. Roy watched him go, speechless. He was used to Ed's mood swings from one extreme to the other, but he had never experienced that particular tone in the young man's voice before. Only the crackle of the fire disturbed the silence that fell in Ed's wake, and Roy half turned to examine the comforting presence of the flame. Its flickering light abruptly reminded him of the blood on Ed's hand, and his heart sank like a stone. Roy let his shoulders slump, leaning against the glass as he stared unseeingly into the rain, feeling the familiar creep of worry insinuate itself back into his soul. More and more, Ed was coming back from missions with scars or injuries. He was no longer a boy who needed protection. He was a young man who had found his strength and his way in the world. At first glance, people assumed he no longer required help, but nothing was further from the truth. With a sigh, Roy bowed his head, trying to think like a commanding officer. If it were Havoc or Fury coughing up blood, then he would have instructed them to seek medical attention. He would have removed them from duty without hesitation and thought nothing more of it but a vague concern. Ed was different. As much as he hated to admit it, Roy knew that he had stopped thinking of Ed as a subordinate a long time ago. He had watched an attractive boy become a handsome young man, and somewhere along the way the strict lines of protocol had faded. Annoyance had become respect, and the warm creep of attraction had worked its way gradually into Roy's life. Of course, he knew his feelings would not be returned. How could they be? The antagonism between Flame and Fullmetal was legendary. For that heated intolerance to change into something opposite was unthinkable. So he found himself doing what he did best, keeping his distance. He made sure to remind himself of the difference in rank, age, and situation at every opportunity, but that did not change the fact that lust was clouding his judgment. Just because he thought that the attraction he felt to Ed was not mutual, it did not stop him from worrying about the younger man, or wondering what would happen if, one day, Ed did not return from a mission. Closing his eyes, Roy swore, feeling his heart wrench at the thought and hating himself for his weakness. The whole situation was tying him in knots, but there was no one to help him untangle the mess of thoughts. Damn it, Hughes, he whispered desperately. I need you. He tried to imagine his dead friend's words, but the memories were treacherous, faded images in the hollow vault of his mind. He could not recall the timbre of Mace's voice, or the exact color of his eyes. After all this time, not even the photographs could bring those recollections back to him. Whirling away from the window, he clicked his fingers, smothering the fire in one smooth gesture. Quickly, he forced his mind away from its morose thoughts as he grabbed his coat and shrugged it on. He wore his gloves, but, as Hawkeye had pointed out, his alchemy was useless in the rain. Despite himself, Roy felt a smirk twist his lips. He had other ways to defend himself. Helplessness was not his style. With one last grim glance at the paperwork on his desk, he opened the door and stepped out of his office. Only Hawkeye and Black Hayate remained. The blonde woman was spreading towels out to dry and straightening the unceasing stacks of paper that seemed to materialize on her desk. She looked up at him with a sad smile and reached for the telephone. "Shall I call your car, sir?"
"No, I think I'll walk."
Riza glanced out of the window and raised an eyebrow in question before nodding her understanding. There was a moment or two of companionable silence as she flicked off the last of the lights and held the door open for him. Black Hayate trotted obediently behind them as Hawkeye yanked her smart coat over her jacket and did up the buttons. Belatedly, he realized that if he walked, then so would Hawkeye.
"Why don't you take the car?" he asked. "You don't have to get drenched on my account."
"Black Hayate needs the exercise." Looking over his shoulder at the lean, well-kept dog, he wondered about calling the woman out on her weak reason, but decided against it. If she was insisting on walking, then that probably meant she had something to say.
"I'll walk you home."
Roy's words brooked no argument, and he waited for her to give a resigned nod. It had become habit for one of the men in the office to see her safely to her door. They all knew how tough Hawkeye was, but still, the idea of her alone in the dark did not rest comfortably with any of them. If she noticed their protectiveness, then she ignored it. It was probably that or put a bullet in them. And that did not encourage good teamwork. Her movements were aggravated, and a barely restrained sigh caught his attention. He had not worked at Riza's side for so long without gaining some understanding of the nuances of her nature, in the same way that she knew what a certain smile or quirk of his eyebrows meant. He could tell the difference between real anger and a bluff. He could also tell when something was preying on her mind. Now was one of those times. It was easy to see the wrinkle of her brow and the faint lines that bracketed her mouth. With a start, he realized that she was reading his facial expression with equal ease, and she voiced the thought on both their minds. "There's something wrong with Ed, sir." It was delivered in military fashion, and Roy knew that she would cite at least a dozen instances as proof if he asked for them. Hawkeye never drew a hasty conclusion.
"I know. He was coughing blood in my office."
The alarm on her face was genuine, and Roy felt a prickle of discomfort as her confidence seemed to falter. "Al told me that something was wrong, but he couldn't tell me what. He just knows." He nodded, expecting nothing less. Whatever Ed thought, there was no way that Al could be kept completely in the dark. Years of being in each other's constant company had given them a potent bond. Both Elrics were incredibly protective, and both would put the other's safety before their own in a heartbeat.
"It's instinct. Ed's the same. Even when he's distracted, he always seems to know what's happening with Al."
Roy listened to their twin footsteps echo along the corridor and trot down the stairs before he spoke again.
"Full Metal will keep going until his body demands its rest."
"That could kill him, sir," Riza pointed out, her tone belying her weak opinion of his assessment. "You know what he is like, and he won't stop until his body forces him to."
"I'm not saying that we should ignore him," Roy responded, "but he's not going to accept our help willingly."
"He needs rest." Hawkeye's hand drifted automatically to the weapon under her coat, as though she were considering forcing the young alchemist to recuperate at gunpoint. Roy would never say it to her face, but sometimes there was something distinctly motherly about his only female aide.
"He's stubborn, Lieutenant. Have you ever tried to get Edward into bed? He's very resistant."
Belatedly, Roy realized what that had sounded like, and a cool glance at Riza confirmed that her lips were twitching with smothered laughter.
"I can't say I have, sir. Blondes aren't my type," Her voice was lilted with mirth, and he knew if it weren't for her professionalism, she would be chuckling openly. "I didn't mean it like that," he said, with all the dignity he could muster. Hawkeye held her silence for a moment before controlling herself and stepping out of the dry hallway and into the rain. "Permission to speak freely, sir?"
"Of course."
Roy felt a thrill of trepidation. Hawkeye rarely asked permission to speak her mind, and he got the feeling that he would not like what he was about to hear. "I've seen the way you look at Ed sometimes, sir. I think you did mean it that way. At least to some extent." The darkness hid the faint flush on his face, and he cleared his throat awkwardly. Was she as discomfited as he was? She didn't appear to have lost her cool, and he could feel her swift, penetrating glances as he tried to think of a response. "He looks at you the same way." Her words were like pebbles dropped in a calm pool. They broke his smooth exterior with their ripples. He found his normally stable emotions thrown into disarray. Roy stopped, turning to take a good look at Reza's earnest expression. She was too close a friend to deliberately lie to him, but she had to be mistaken.
"I think you've confused anger with something else," he mumbled.
"If I did that, sir, then I'll hand in my gun." The certainty in her voice was edged with soft sincerity, and she idly reached out to brush some lint off his lapel.
"You know, most officers would report their superior if they had suspicions of an indecent relationship like the one you're suggesting."
Hawkeye gave him a disbelieving look. "Indecent?" she asked. "I'm sorry, sir, but if it makes you happy, then how can it be indecent?" She sighed, blinking through the rain and crossing her arms. Her lips twitched into a faint smile, and she murmured, "You thought I didn't know." Roy swallowed tightly. He hadn't thought anyone had realized his preferences except Hughes. The green-eyed man had pried the truth from him with the help of a large bottle of whiskey. Even then, he had expected censure from the unshakable Mace. Instead, there had been nothing but warm understanding and silent support. Now, the same feeling was coming off of Hawkeye. Her chin was tilted as though daring him to deny it, and eventually he nodded once. It was the only admission she would get from him, but it seemed enough.
"You're not upset?" he asked, wincing when she gave him a sharp look. It spoke volumes and somehow implied that he was being unbelievably stupid.
She did not reply with anything but a smile and a shake of her head before she set off with Black Hayate at her heel, intent on getting out of the rain. After a moment, Roy trotted after her.
"What gave me away?"
he asked curiously, when he was again matching her stride. "You mean other than the longing looks?" Hawkeye shrugged, and turned to check that her dog was still following her. "Overcompensating? That miniskirt speech might have earned you Havoc's eternal gratitude, but it was pretty transparent."
"Do others?"
"Perhaps. But if they know, then they've kept their suspicions to themselves." With a tight sigh, she squared her shoulders against the cold. "The only reason I mention it, sir, is because you're wrong. Out of all of us, you're probably the only one who can tell Ed what to do. He might complain, but he does obey your orders. Perhaps not to the letter, but the result is the same." They walked in thoughtful silence until they reached Hawkeye's front door. She fumbled for a moment with the lock before nudging her way inside. She gestured for Roy to follow, but he shook his head, huddling in the lee of the building, as she tempted Black Hayate through the door. The rain had lessened slightly, but Roy still cringed as cold water trickled into his collar. "I sent out a cleanup team," she said absently. "They should be done in an hour or so." His silence must have alerted her to the problem, because she looked up sharply, her warm brown eyes narrowing suspiciously. Ed didn't tell you, did he?
No.
Roy clenched his jaw. It was probably deliberate on Ed's part. His reports always tended to gloss over the death toll and the damage estimations. He wasn't sure that he wanted to know, but the question slipped out.
What was the team for?
A dead body in the alleys near the Grindle. Hawkeye frowned thoughtfully. Actually, it was Al that told me. Perhaps Ed just forgot.
The Grindle?
His voice roughened with a growl, and he scrubbed a hand over his tired face.
What the hell was he doing in that part of town? He's lucky to be alive.
The thought of the impetuous Edward marching into the dark heart of those narrow streets was enough to bring him out into a cold sweat.
At least Al was with him.
Hawkeye bit her lip before confessing. Actually, I think he was alone. They split up to cover more ground. Roy felt the beginning of a headache cloud under his brow, and he wished he could track down the blonde alchemist to throttle some sense into him.
I'll talk to him about it tomorrow. I'm beginning to think that we should give him a permanent mandatory escort. Think Armstrong's up to the job?
It was only a half joke, but Hawkeye smiled and shook her head ruefully. Good night, sir.
Good night, Lieutenant. See you in the morning.
Throwing her a quick wave, Roy turned and set off towards his own home, knowing that Risa would watch until he was out of sight. At one point, her concern for his well-being had made him uncomfortable, but he had soon learned that he was not particularly favored in that regard. She watched them all as they left, making sure they were safely away into the night before closing her door. Sighing, he wondered what things could have been like. She was a good officer and perfectly attractive. He knew for a fact that there were many men in Central Command that viewed her with more than just military business in mind. Yet, while he could see, in a detached way, that she was beautiful, he valued her friendship too much to ruin it with what could never be more than a casual fling. With a faint smile, he shook his head, turning onto the main street and covering the short distance to his house at a brisk walk. It seemed whatever attraction had once lit Reese's eyes had long since faded. She knew the truth, and there had been no judgment from her, only hope and the faintest trace of disappointment. Trotting up the steps to his front door, he twisted the lock and slipped inside. The hall was dark and cool, and he quickly turned the lights on and checked the doors and windows. Higher officers in the military were always targets, and he refused to lose his life because he had been too tired or careless to look out for himself. The day had been long, and the puzzle of the grave robbers combined with his concern over Ed had taken its toll. Exhaustion pulled at his muscles, and he rubbed a finger absently over the scar beside his eye. It was faint, but present. Archer's shot had gone wide, an inch to the right, and Roy knew that he would have at least lost an eye, if not his life. He still remembered waking up on the doorstep of the Fuhrer's house and seeing Hawkeye's panicked face. The wound had bled like a pig, but it looked far worse than it was. She thought she had failed him and kept apologizing again and again. It was her bullet that had killed Archer, and her accuracy that had denied the maniac a second chance to fire. The aftermath of that day had been a nightmare, and because of his involvement, he was deemed unsuitable for promotion. Instead, it was Hakuro who had assumed military command. He snorted to himself. The man's incompetence was only exceeded by his self-importance. Tensions were running high, simmering near boiling point for the past 2 years. Unless something changed, it wouldn't be much longer before the whole mess went up in flames and they had another war on their hands. Roy had been doing everything in his power to limit Hakuro's blunders, but there was only so much he could do. The whole of Central Command was waiting with bated breath, trying to keep the city under control while the rest of Amestris fell to pieces. In the flurry on inauguration and investigations, there had been barely a smile among Roy's staff. Lack of evidence meant they were cleared of any wrongdoing. But the fear remained. Every day they were constantly reminded of who was missing from their ranks. The absence of the short, blonde boy and the looming armor was like a wound that would not heal. Some had an unshakable faith that the two would succeed. Fury, for all his kind nature, would snap at anyone who suggested they might not make it back. There had been a time when all Roy could do was dwell on his doubts and wonder if they would ever know what had become of the two boys. It had been weeks when the phone had rung. It was just another call on a busy day. He could remember Hawkeye telling him who it was, and the whoops of relief from his men. He had been torn between cursing Edward for not reporting sooner and thanking whatever power might be listening that the two of them were all right. Steady musical notes rang out throughout the house, breaking into his memories. And Roy looked up at the clock. It was striking midnight, turning one day into the next. He hesitated by the drinks cabinet, knowing that a glass of whiskey would settle his nerves and numb his mind. But no, he would not. One drink became two, once a week became every night, and before he knew it, he would be addicted. He never wanted to be reliant on anyone or anything but himself. Even those he chose to take his bed had never become essential in his life. It was simply not possible. Hawkeye's careful words had struck a chord, and he wondered if it would be possible to keep Ed from becoming something he could not live without. Something told him that a relationship with Full Metal would be neither superficial nor temporary. That alone was enough to cause concern. Mace would have laughed and told him that, wife or partner, it did not matter. Whoever had the ability to make Roy even think about commitment was worth hanging on to. Forcefully, Roy turned towards the bedroom, climbing the stairs and scowling at the carpet. There was nothing to be committed to, except perhaps an asylum. He had to be crazy to be thinking of this. Whatever Risa said, Ed was not about to share his life with Roy. Lust was one thing, but love? I don't think you could manage without me. You take so much looking after. The words rang out clearly in his mind, and Roy felt his heart lift again. If it hadn't been a joke, and if Ed had been telling the truth, then did he really mean that the way it sounded? Did it really mean that Ed had stayed in Central for him? He stopped by the bedroom door, his mind a complete whirl of disorder as logic, doubt, and emotion waged war against one another. He wanted to believe that assumption. He wanted to believe that there was some potential between himself and Ed, but his realistic nature would not allow him more than the faintest trace of hope. The shrill ring of the telephone cut through the quiet, making him jump at the unexpected sound. Exhaustion burned away under a rush of adrenaline, and he dashed down the stairs towards the phone. Private numbers were only used in a true emergency or the outbreak of a war. Whatever the caller had to say, it would not be good news. In a flash, he had snapped the receiver from its cradle and pressed it to his ear. "Yes?" "Brigadier General Mustang?" The voice on the other end of the line was soft and tired, as though its owner had been disturbed from sleep not long ago. "Yes?" Possibilities ran through Roy's mind, but he already knew in his heart what the call was about. "This is Dr. Collins at Central Command Infirmary. I have to inform you that an officer under your command collapsed tonight, Edward Elric." Sweat prickled along Roy's brow, and he licked his lips, trying to calm his thoughts into a logical, cohesive formation. The doctors would not inform a commanding officer of health issues unless it was serious. "What's his status?" he bit out, feeling the blood drain from his face when the doctor sighed heavily, a hiss crackle on the line. "Unstable and deteriorating. I suggest you hurry, sir. The line went dead with a click, leaving Roy staring vacantly into space. His stomach writhed with anxiety, and his throat was parched. There was no self-deception, and his mind leapt back to the blood that had stained Edward's palm. Crimson and vivid, it had been a sign he had ignored, an unmistakable warning that he had not wanted to heed. His heart thudded painfully as he yanked the door open and dodged out into the rain, silently repeating an endless mantra in his head. "Please don't let it be too late.